Boker Tov World. Today's daf in Mesechet Shavuot, brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh, is daf Yud Chet. And we are holding on the, we already did a little bit of this daf. And actually, let me just remind you what we ended up with the problem being. Our problem was that it seems to be impossible to work out a way that you could be chayev both al haknisa the al haprisha, that you should be chayev on both of them. How would that exactly be possible? So you remember that our issue over here is that we've got two separate isurim. One of them is called mitzvahs aseh shebenida, and one of them is called mitzvahs lo taseh shebenida. The mitzvah lo taseh is obvious. That means just don't sleep with the nida. And that would be an iser for penetration, which is called knisa. So that would be easy to understand if it's a shogeg. How could it be a shogeg that it was, there's two possibilities. Might have been, somuch levista, and he figured, I have enough time to actually do bia rapidly, and I'll be able to escape before she actually has a re'iyas dam. And that way, if he made that mistake, he didn't mean to be ba'al anida, but he certainly is not an onus. He had no business in doing that because it was usur. So that was a shogeg. It was a mistake, and he therefore be chayav a korban. So that would be the simple way of understanding that. Then the problem is that we have the mitzvahs aseh shebenida. So the mitzvahs aseh shebenida is a strange pasuk that we said before is vatihi nida ta'alav, that there seems to be a point in which the Torah wants the nida to remain with you. Now, how could that possibly be? So we said that the issue over there was a question of exiting with an erection or without an erection. So if you exit with an erection, so then you're going to end up doing, again, another act of essentially bia, because there's no difference in the direction that you're moving. Whether you're going in or out, you're still having the same pleasure. And therefore, the question was, finding out that a woman became anida in the middle of intercourse, what are you supposed to do? So the Mishnah says, you're going to have to wait till your penis goes flaccid. At that point, you'd be allowed to exit. But other than that, if you exit, so then you would be chayev. Why? Now the question is, why would you be chayev? If you knew that you're not supposed to exit, so then you did it b'mezit. And if you didn't know, so then essentially you did the same issue twice. You went in and you went out. I mean, that's, you had no idea that you weren't supposed to go out. And the question was, at what point is that yediyah mechayev you? Because if you didn't know it, so then you wouldn't be chayev twice. And if you did know it, you were amazed. So how would that work? So, okay, so we came out, according to Rava, the guy is a Talmud Chacham. He knows that he shouldn't have been involved in attempting to get away with this because it was somuch levista, but he didn't know that in the event that he would be caught short, that he wasn't allowed to be yotzei immediately. That was the case. So, okay, so that way he was a Talmud Chacham Lazum, not a Talmud Chacham Lazum, and he ends up being chayev on both. Says Rava, actually, we could see from the Mishnah both of these. Just one second. So we have what I just said has backing in the Mishnah. I just need your tolerance for a moment. And where is that? Tarvayo Tanino. The Knisa Tanino. It says beferish that you're going to be chayav to bring a korban chatas for entry. And it also makes it very clear in the Mishnah that you're going to be chayev ech karban chatas for exiting. Prisha teninu, that is in our Mishnah, because our Mishnah says, Hayam mishamesh im atehora. V'amralo nitmeti, upiresh miyat chayav. So our Mishnah says beferish. if you were told in the middle of intercourse that I am Tmei'a, and you immediately exit, then you're going to be Chayav. So, okay, there's clearly a mitzvah aseh shebenita, which you would be over on. And it also says knisa, because we know that the Mishnah in Nida says, nimtza el shelo tmeim, that in the event that a person had bia with a woman, and then they both checked themselves to see whether there had been any dam, so the man wipes his penis with a cloth and discovers that there was blood on it, on that cloth. So then both of them are tmeim, because obviously, where did that blood come from? It must have come from his intercourse, in which case both he and she obviously had been over on this din of nidais, and therefore they would be tmeim, and they would both be chayev a korban. Now, what would the case be that they would be chayev a korban? I mean, assuredly, the case would be that it was somuch levista, and he did the wrong thing, and she did the wrong thing, because he entered, and that was the chayev of the korban. So you see, we have both proofs. Our Mishnah says you're chayev on exit. The Mishnah Nida, with using the cloth, says that you're chayev on entry, and therefore we essentially can bring a raya to exactly what I said. And is there any way out of that? Says Rav Ada Bar Masna to Rava, that's not necessarily true, because I could tell you that actually the Mishnah is talking about B'shalos Samuch Levista. It's talking about a case where it wasn't, and maybe the Mishnah in Nida, which said that you are chayev, was talking about your chayev for exiting and wasn't talking about your chayev for entry. And if, therefore, we never have a Mishnah that is saying exactly that Samuch Levista would be chayev on the Knesset. Now, I know what you're going to ask me. You're going to ask me, v'chite about pre-shalom. I mean, why in the world would Rebbe have had to say the Mishnah in Nida that talks about the chiyuv for exiting if it already said here in our Mishnah in Shavuos, it already said beferish exiting is aser. Says, omer lo nitmesi, and he was yotze miyad, he would be chayev. So what would be the point of mentioning it again? Hatanale, it says it over here. That I can explain, because that is coming to tell me Yitzrich Lashminan that Nimtza al Shalah Tmeim B'Safik. There's a lot of confusion that the Mishnah has to explain about what happens if they both check themselves with these cloths and he finds nothing and she finds blood. So now the question is, if she finds blood, how much do we have to be concerned that that blood was there while they were having intercourse? That's the question. So the Mishnah explains that it depends on the shear of how immediate she finds this blood. Fine. So that's already complicated. The Mishnah needed to explain that complication. Once it already tells me that complication, so it already brings out the fact that his, what's the din of finding it on himself, on his cloth. But it's Tananami Nimtzal Shalom. But it didn't really need to say that. And the main point was, it was talking about Prisha. It wasn't talking about Yetziya. And it was just there to tell me about these dinim of these cloths that you're using, which are called Edim. Omar Le Ravina Ravada, that's ridiculous. How can you possibly say that it's talking about Shalom Samuch Levista, and the Isser that we're referring to, that he's Bechuyev to bring the carbon, is because of the Prisha? It says Nimtza, if the blood was found. If she already told him, I am Anita, and now his problem is the Prisha, what in the world would it have to do about whether we found blood on him, on his cloth or not? So I understand what you're talking about. It makes no sense at all. It says nimtza, and the word nimtza means after they had these relations, then it was nimtza. If we're talking about the Prisha, so then it was there from before when he told her. So then he already had a yediyah at that point, b'ikar havela yediyah, and it has nothing to do with finding it on the aid, on the cloth. So what you're saying makes no sense. Says Rav, yes, listen very carefully what your Rebbe Ravina is telling you. How in the world could you think such a thing? in which Ravada Bamasta said, how am I supposed to listen to what my Rebbe is telling when the Braita says that he's wrong? Because the Braita says, beferish, that that's not the case. It says, Zohi mitzvat asei shebenida shechayavin ala. This is the chiv that you're chayav because of exit, not because of entrance. And if he's right, it should say, Zohi mitzvah lo taseh. You're claiming that the meaning of that was that it was perish, that he was should have been perish samach levista. And he didn't, and that he was chayev, therefore, so what you're trying to say, it was chayev for the knisa. But the problem is, if you're chayev for the knisa, then you're talking about a mitzvah lo taseh. And it says, beferish in the Braita, that this is a mitzvah asei. Says Rava, look, I mean, I understand what you're saying, you got a problem. But the way out of the problem is not to say something absurd. You can't really make it work if we're talking about the mitzvah, which is the asay, and it's talking about you'd be chayev on the prisha. Because then the word nimtza, simply there's no way to explain it. So if you're absolutely certain that this braita was taught to you and that it's actually a reliable braita, and you're going to stick with that braita. So if you're going to be shona this braita, then you have no choice but to be chaser utniyafi. You're going to have to learn that the braita is chisure mechasra, and that it's missing certain words, which is valid if a braita or a mishnah makes it very clear by the way that it's constructed that you've got to be your brain, use your brains to understand what it's referring to. Then one of the ways that we use our brains is we do they're mechaser. So we say, look, it's clearly chasuri mechasre v'achi katani. I'm telling you that's what you got to do over here. So the braita is clearly missing something. And therefore you should say, zohi mitzvat lo taseh. Obviously that was the mitzvah lo taseh because the yisur was beknisa. And it must have been that it was referring to that it happened to him because he was so mechlevista. Now, if you want to explain the rest of it, continue to add, ve'ezui mitzvat asei shemenida, ha'yu mishamish im ha'tahira va'amda amra lo nitmesi, that is a case where you would be chayev because of the prisha. That's all. There's nothing else you could say. That's why I'm telling you, you've got no choice in the matter. Omar. Okay, so then what did it say in the Mishnah? That if you go out immediately, piresh miyad, you're chayev. So what in the world are you supposed to do? I mean, this guy is obviously not going to be standing like this forever. So what has he got to do? So he's got to do his best to lose his erection. So whatever he's got to do, but he certainly can't thrust. So what should he do? So to speak, he should be noetz, eser tziparnav, bekarka, achi yamut. He should stand himself on his fingertips, on whatever you got to do. Just make sure that you don't continue to do anything that causes any kind of stimulation, which would enable you to retain your koshi. So there's no erection that's going to keep on going forever. And then you will gain flaccidity and then you'll be able to go out. And that's the best thing that you can do. Utovia. That is the best that we could do. We'll see that lushen, what that means. And that's great. We'll see why we say that's great. It doesn't seem to add anything. Oh, my Rava. So this is, I think, the explanation of the Toviyah, even though the Lashon, the Gemara doesn't explain it, but this is clearly, in the way we come out, it makes a lot of sense. Because Rava says, look, what you see from here is, Zot Omeret, that Hamishamesh Meit Ba'arayot Yer Patur. If you're telling me that the way out of this problem is to lose your erection, so that must mean that, in fact, if you end up having intercourse with a flaccid penis, you are not chayev. Because if you were chayev, what's the difference whether you are flaccid or whether you have an erection? It should be exactly the same thing. So it must be that that's the whole point. In the event that you have an aver mate, you have a flaccid penis, so then you would be potter. Because isar kataitach you're chayev, so then what would be the point? So why would you be potter? The only reason that you would be putter would be why? Because it's an onus. What was I supposed to do? I can't stay like this forever. But then if anyway, it's because it was onus, right? And the idea over here was it's not my fault that I suddenly find out that I'm in this position. So then if it's an onus, what's the difference whether you have an erection or you don't have an erection? It's exactly the same thing. I'm going to be the same onus if I'm pirish miyad or if I'm not pirish miyad. So I might as well just go out immediately. Either way, you would be potter. So what difference would it make? You'd still be an onus. You see clearly that it's not considered to be an act of bia without an actual erection. I don't understand. Why does that prove it? Why can't we say that the truth is that you are chayev either with flaccid or with erection? It makes no difference. So you'll say, so why should I bother waiting until I lose my erection? Because my time are your putter. Not because it's not considered to be an act of intercourse, but because there's nothing you can do. That's all. It's onus. And you were in a situation which you're not chayev to bring a carbon if you're stuck. V'hoda amrit. So you'll say, yes, I understand that. I'm not stupid. But the point is that if anyway, it makes no difference because you'd be chayev. So then, Kiporish miyad amar chayav. I'll explain you, because there may be such a thing as a relative chiyav. In other words, you could have avoided the full pleasurable of sleeping with this woman. How? By losing your erection. And instead you chose that you're gonna take the easiest way immediately to be yotze, in which case you will have more pleasure. Therefore, since you should have been biporish bahana amu etet, you should have had a choice of less pleasure, and you chose to take more pleasure, that's why we would consider in that case your chayev, because you had a way to avoid more iser, so to speak. That's the chayev of abaya, that there would be a different of doing your best. Now, if that's the case, then tovia makes a lot of sense. Because, look, we don't have a solution with you. You're obviously not going to be walking around for the next of your world, sticking with yourself inside this woman, walking around. I mean, that's insane. So obviously, you're going to have to get out of there. So now the question is, okay, so what can you do? We don't really have a solution. This would be the meaning that Abaye is saying. There is no real solution, because no matter what you do, you're going to be over on that intercourse. But there's a difference. Tovia, it's better to have the best possible solution. And the best possible solution we have is to get rid of that erection. That's the point. Omele Rabba Bahana Labaye, but 1 second. It's true that this would make sense, but it creates a big problem. Why? Because if you have an either-or situation, okay, so then I understand an either-or situation. Either you did it right in the sense of you made certain that you weren't chayev, so then you're not going to be chayev. On the other hand, if you didn't have the patience or the self-control to lose your erection, so then you're going to be chayev. Okay, I understand. But the way that you're explaining it, that's not the issue. The issue is, what's your better situation? Now, what that means is if you have a better situation, then we've got exactly the same situation that we have in the question of going into the Azara. You find yourself, Tame, in the Azara. And remember that we understood that the meaning of the Mishnah's contrast of these two apparently different things, which seem to be, again, from a Western point of view, it appears to be totally insane. The idea over here is exactly the opposite. It's a perfect comparison because we understand that the relationship of Knisa to the Migdash is considered to use exactly the same word. It's called Bia, the Bia Bifnim. And we compare that just from the same time of Yaakov Avinu. We find exactly the same idea, that the Knisa into the Mikdash is the equivalent of an act of intercourse. Therefore, it's Beit Biloni and so on and so forth. Now, that would mean that the whole idea of the comparison that we're talking about is the difference between what the din would be, the similarity between the entry in terms of a Mikdash and Azara, and entry into a woman's womb, right? But then if what Abaya is saying is that there's a way to do it right and a way to do it wrong. It's not an either or, because anyway, you're going to be chayev one way or the other. Even with a flaccid matzav, you're still going to end up being chayev. So what would be the difference? The difference is the way in which you do it. If you do it without patience, then you're going to be chayev. That's the short way. If you do it correctly and you lose your erection, so then that's the long way. So then you will be potter. But then that's exactly the same idea, is it not, of the idea of the derech yitzara and the derech arucha. So then that means that the comparison between the two wild cases are even more close than we realized. It's not just a question of exit or entry. It's also, how did you do? Did you take the long way home or did you take the short way home? Isn't it clear that the Mishnah would have made that comparison as well? And it would have made the difference between Derech Yitzara and Derech Arucha. And that would have been such a beautiful comparison. So just like the Mishnah has pointed out a Derech Arucha and a Derech Yitzara, the Mishnah should also have pointed out, and when it comes to the Nida, there's a difference between you take the long way home, in which you lose your erection, or you take the short way home, in which case you would be more chayev because you would still have an erection. Isn't that a perfectly beautiful way to explain the two? And yet it's not what the Mishnah did. And instead, what does the Mishnah say? The Mishnah only uses this idea of easy way out and difficult way out, meaning the long way out and the short way out, is only mentioned in terms of the Migdash, in terms of the Azara. It doesn't say anything about the case of the two choices in the Nida of the Knisa or Yitziah. Well, why doesn't it? The reason, says the Gemara, is you're really right. It's a beautiful, beautiful example, but it's too easy to confuse people because they're actually mirror images. The long way out is the chiyuv in the case of the Azara, and the long way out is exactly the case that is the correct thing to do when it comes to the Nida. The exiting as quickly as possible in the Azara is the way to avoid the chiyuv, and when it comes to the Nida, the short way out, meaning without waiting, that is the case in which you would be chayev. So since the two cases are exactly the opposite of one another, even though it's almost irresistible, making the obvious implications about how the two are such a beautiful mirror image, because we deal with something that is so sensitive and so easy for people to get confused. Oh my God, how did I get into this mess? And you forget that they're actually the mirror images. You're doing the wrong thing. And you think to yourself, wait a minute, but Derech Tzara, that's the way to get out of the issue. You may, because of that, get mixed up. So because of that, we didn't want to make the parallel, because even though it's a lovely comparison, but it's wrong to do it, because Arucha Da'acha would be the Ketzara Da'asa, and the Arucha Da'asa would be the Ketzara Da'acha, obviously. Matkifla Revuna Bereder of Nasa. Now, you're telling me that Abaye understands that the situation is, actually, no matter how you exit, you're going to actually be doing a Bia with Anida. And so we asked you, so then, if there's nothing that you're going to do, why are you potter? And he said, well, because you find yourself in an inescapable situation. How in the world are you supposed to be getting out of that woman? But that would mean that he's an onus. That's what Abaye said. Abaye said, well, it's an onus. There's nothing to do about it. So what would that mean? That would mean that we're talking about a case, b'shalos samuch levistaka amrina. We would be talking dafka about a case where you were caught short. You were caught long, actually, but caught short in the sense you didn't know that it was samuch levistaka. It wasn't. And it was like a completely a crazy situation where her hormones went nuts and she was not Summa Clavista, and this was completely out of anybody's control. All of a sudden, she's Rea Dunn. That's what you're saying, that according to Abaya, she's putter, and you're putter, because of the fact that it wasn't Summa Clavista. And I don't understand what you're talking about. Abaya was the one. He was the one that said you're going to be chayiv both. You're going to be chayiv both for the Knisa and for the Yetziah. Now, darn it, the only way that that worked was that you did know that it was Summa Clavista. Now he's saying, no, actually, you're putter because it wasn't Summa Clavista. And I'm so confused. Which way is it? He was the one that said we're talking about Summa Clavista. And now he's saying the reason that you're putter, if it ends up that you're caught out in this situation, you'd be putter because you're an honest, but you're not an honest because you shouldn't have been in this situation in the first place. You're a shogeg, not an honest. Fabaya, hudi omar, chayev shtayim. And the only way you could possibly be chayev shtayim would be chayev for the knisa. You say, well, it wasn't my fault. I had no idea. Yes, you did. You weren't supposed to take that risk. And therefore, we were talking about Summa Clavista. Exactly the opposite of what you're saying. Yeah. Wait a second. This business that Abaya was talking about was not about the Mishnah. The Mishnah is talking about a time where it was not Summa Clavista. I never said that the case in the Mishnah is that you're chayev two times. When we said that you'd be chayev two times, that's not talking about our Mishnah. It's talking about a case where it was actually Summa Clavista. And over there, that's when Abaya said you would be chayev twice. The case in the Mishnah, over there, Abaya was talking about the way we said before, that it was not Summa Clavista. And therefore, it says, if he goes out the Kitzara, he's chayev, the Arucha, meaning that he's flaccid, he's not chayev. That's the whole point. And that's why is he not chayev? Not because he didn't do an act of bia. He's not chayev because he was in a situation where he had nothing to do. What's he supposed to do? So he's putter because he's an onus. That's the idea. But they're two completely different cases. Abaye was talking about that you'd be chayev twice in a general. It's like it's possible in the event that it actually was a case where it was Summa Clavista, and you don't have the excuse of the issue of not knowing what was I supposed to do. So then in the case that you're a Talmud Chacham, to one thing, meaning you're knowledgeable of the fact that Summa Clavista is Aser, and you weren't aware of the fact that there's a difference between Ktsura and Arucha, the way Abaya is understanding it now, when it comes to exiting. Baimine Reb Yossi, Reb Yonatan ben Yossi ben Lukunya, Mirabi Shimon ben Yossi ben Lukunya. We've been taking for granted this idea of there being a concept of a Summa Clavista, and that is an actual chiyuv. You have to be careful not to make any kind of estimations about do I have time, don't I have time. You're not supposed to be attempting any kind of last-minute intimate relations when a woman is scheduled to be at her period time. How do we know that that's true? Azara leboel nidam minayin minatayra. So the way that Rabbi Yonatan ben Yosef said it was, gee, he says to Rabbi Shimon ben Yosef ben Lukunya, where does it say you're not supposed to sleep with a nida? To which, of course, his brother grabs a piece of a rock of, hard filth and throws him at his face. What the heck is wrong with your shaka kala? He takes a piece of clod and throws it at him. You're a clod, as they say in English. What are you talking about, Azar Labal Nida? What's the matter with you? It's a beferish repulsing Elisha ben Idatu Matalo Tikrav. What kind of crazy question? Have patience, says Rabbi Yonis, have patience. What I'm asking is, where does it say that it's considered to be sleeping with a Nida in the event that she wasn't a Nida, and that now she tells him that Nitmeti, where's the pasuk that says that you're not supposed to actually do the exit with an erection? Where does it say that? That's what I was asking. Now that's a brilliant question. And that is actually based on that amazing pasuk, which says, Utihi Nidata Alav, the needle that he got stuck with should stay with him. Instead of his saying, oh my God, let me get out of here, he should say just the opposite, is that therefore he has to wait, like we say, and he should not be purish be'ever chai, which means, afilu b'sha'at nidata tehe alav, even now that she's a suratim, he should stay with that nida. Okay, fine, that's a mitzvah taseh. But you said that you would be chayev a lo taseh. Where does it say a lo taseh? So ashkechan aseh. Where does it say that there's a chayev for a lo taseh about this? Omrav Papa, Omar Kro, El Isha, what does it say over there? El Isha benidat tumata lo tikrav, right? Lo tikrav legalot ervata. But the point of tikrav is fascinating because it also means not to be korev to the thing that we're talking about, which would be to the nida. But remember that the word tikrav also means withdraw. Does? Yes. Tikrav is sometimes used in Tanakh as meaning stick to yourself and don't get away to me. Because take a look at this pasuk. This pasuk, the truth is that this pasuk has got a big machlokas about how exactly to understand the language. And the way that Rashi learns it here is different than the way Rashi explains it in the pasuk, but it doesn't matter. Either way, the point of the pasuk is that when the Rishoyim and Yisrael were sick and tired of listening to what the Navi Yeshayo is saying to them, and they don't want to hear from him, so they say to him, you know what? Homrim krave lecha. Why don't you get close to yourself, you idiot? Go screw yourself. Al tigashbi, don't get near me. You're too holy. After all, kikidashticha, I mean, I'm going to make you tummy, aren't I? I'm not holy enough for you to be near. Just stick to yourself. So then that means that the idea of krav means stick it to yourself. That's the point. So it says lo tikrav, that would mean in that case as well. So that do not stick to yourself. That would be what it's saying. Stay where you are, which is bedavka, that you are korov to the nida. That would be the point. It's a beautiful understanding, in which the whole thing is very cynical and nasty, right? Okay. The other way of learning it the way the Mefarshim explained mostly on the actual pasuk in Yeshayo is, well, after all, you think you're the holy one. Let me tell you something. Don't get next to me because we're much holier than you are. We don't want to have anything to do with you. Okay, fine. But the idea would be the same thing. Stick it to yourself. That's the point. Tana Rabbanan. Now, the mucker of the Isser, as we initially said we're looking for in understanding this entire idea of Somach Lavista. So what's the mucker? We still haven't learned what the mucker of that is. Tana Rabbanan. V'hizartem et b'nei Yisrael mitumatam. Omar Rabbi Yoshia, mikan azara l'vnei Yisrael, sheyifreshu minishoteyem samuch levistan. When it says, you should keep them apart. What does that mean, you should keep them apart? I mean, how are they supposed to actually behave? I mean, the woman is tahora. What it means is, see to it. That's the lashon of nazir, nazir echav. Staying far away from something. So vihizartem, see to it that they do not come to a situation in which they end up sleeping with each other in a state of nidais. This is telling us, sheyifreshu minishoteyam, teach the Bnei Yisrael to keep the proper distance from their wives when they are close to the time of their period. How much time? V'chama? Amaraba ona. The amount of time to stay away is one full 12-hour period. So what would that mean? In other words, again, there's a lot of machlokas about this. The simple meaning of it and the way that the Shulchan Aruch paskins, the way that the Rambam paskins, is that what it means is that, let's say that a woman expects to get her actual period at 9 o'clock in the morning or 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And this was once upon a time when hormones used to be very steady and very reliable. So before diet and everything else destroyed the normal hormones of women, then the idea was that the entire 12-hour period, instead of saying, okay, I mean, she usually gets her period at 9 o'clock in the morning, or she usually gets her period at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, or, of course, the other types of periods that we're not going into over here, but just simply taking the simplest period, certain number of days, and then that correct time in the day. So that means that from the beginning of that 12-hour period till the end of that 12-hour period, she is asura to you. That's samachovista. So if during that day at some point, let's say it's Tuesday, whether it's the morning Tuesday, afternoon on Tuesday, you're not allowed to be sleeping with her. And even if she misses her period at 9 o'clock or at 2 o'clock or whenever it is, she remains asura till the end of that day. So that's called the Prisha Somochlovesta. It's one 12-hour period. That's the simplest way, and it's the way that the Rambam, and which is really the approach of the Rimigash, and it's the way that the Shulchan Aruch paskins. Now, there are other approaches, which we don't paskin la'alocha in the Shulchan Aruch, but the Chazon Ish says that people that are Yorei Shamayim and people that are more Zahir should take upon themselves the Chumrah of what is known as the Arzaruah's Chumrah, who, even though he was before the Beis Yosef, the Beis Yosef brings the idea of the Arzaruah, and he shows that it's wrong, and he doesn't even mention it in the Shulchan Aruch at all. And therefore, Mi'ikar Adin, he's docha, what's called the extra ona. There's, when he understands that the Gemara over here means the ona before. So let's say she's scheduled to be Roya Dam on Tuesday. So then the night before the Lel of that day, another 12 hours before the 12 hours of the day, which would be a total of 24 hours, that's what the Gemara here is referring to. So, Enochinami, as the Chazon Ish says, look, you know, that's the way that Talmidei Chachamim should be noyeg. So that has become the standard approach among B'nai Torah, that they are Poresh Minishaseim for a 24-hour period. The question of what is considered to be Poresh, does it mean to be Poresh from intercourse, or does it be Poresh even from the Chumras that have to do with just closeness of intimacy without actual penetration? Okay, those are different dargas. Maybe some are less machmer on that extra yon ona of the Arzaruah, and more machmer on the Diraisa. I shouldn't say Diraisa, because that's also machlokas, whether this really means the period is Diraisa, or whether it's only within a half an hour does Diraisa. These are all kinds of complex dinim. But the point is that Aliba, the Pashtas of the Gemara, this is the Pasik, and of course, according to many Rishonim, it's an Esmachta, this idea of the 12-hour period. But that is the basis, either Diraisa or Rabbanan, of the Hizartem. And Om Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, Kol She'eino Poresh Mi'ishto Samuch Levesta, if a person is not careful to stay away from the wife, thinking that, well, I can always get in another one time of sleeping together, then even if he had children that were such tzaddikim, that they were similar to Bunim of B'nai Aaron, which were like Nadav Aviyu, the greatest of Klal Yisrael, they will ultimately die young, just like his children died. Meitim. Why? Because you take a look at the end of the Tazria Mitzera. So what does it say over there? It starts at B'nai Yisrael Mitumatam. It moves on directly into Vahadava Benidata. So it lists all of those various tumas in those psukim. Vizartem et bnei Yisrael mitumatam, v'lo yamutu betumatam. And then it says, v'hadava benidata, the very next pasuk. So then that means that the hadava benidata, what's the very next word? Acharei mot shnei bnei Aaron. So then when it says, v'lo yamutu betumatam, it means even if they were tzaddikim like bnei Aaron, in the end, they will suffer that same type of fate because of the lack of chashivas to being perish. And Omer Rebbe Chiyo Barav, Omer Rebbe Yochanan, someone who is careful, kol ha-poresh b'ishto, samuch levidato. Having rabbanim zicharim will be zeicha to have children who are end up in roi to be tzadikim dichtiv sons. Lahavdo ben atome ben atohar is followed by isha ki tazria v'yalda zachar. So that's also a smichus. Lahavdil ben atameu ben atohar uben achaya nechelet uben achaya asher eina nechelet. And that is right up next to that parsha of Isha ki Tazria. So you see that those two things, those are the next pasuk. After that, we get to Tazria Mitzera, and that is Taberel b'nei Yisrael Emor Isha ki Tazria v'yalda zachar. So obviously, the being separating yourself from the Tumah is itself a derech towards Tazria v'yalda zachar. Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi Omer, it's more than just you'll have male children. You'll have the type of children that are ru'uyin lohora'ah. They will become great talmidei chachamim. Dichtiv lahavdil ulohorot bein hatomea bein hatohar. So it says over there, first, we have that lashon of specifically there should be this difference. And then it says it should be lohorot. It's followed immediately by Lahorot, which means that there's also children that are ro'ui lahora'a. Rabbi Chiya bar Ava, Rabbi Yochanan. This is a concept of Havdolah. It's not just a matter of the inyanim of separating yourself. It's a matter of learning to have that type of clear judgment and separation. And therefore, Havdolah is exactly the same. Because Omer Pchia Brahma Rabbi Yochanan, Kol HaMavdil Al HaYayin B'Motzai Shabbos. Same thing is true. You make your Havdolah after Shabbos, you're also Zoche to having Banim Zecharim for the same reason. It says, LaHavdil Bein HaKodesh U'Bein HaChol. So all of this is part of the nature of that Havdolah, like we said before. And it says, right afterwards, Isha ki Tazria v'yalda zachar. So it means all types of Havdalah is part of that basic Havdalah. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi Omer, there too. Banim ru'uyim lohora'ah. It's the same thing that I said before, Lagabe, the Prisha Somach Leveset. The Torah puts together this din of separating to the mitzvah of lahavdil ulahorot, which means that those children of the Ishaki Tazria will be ra'ui lahora'ah. Rabbi Binyamin bar Yefet, Omar Rabbi Elazar. This idea of being careful to be mavdil, remember that havdola always relates to kedusha. So the more that things become more dedicated to what it is that their relationship is and their purpose is, the greater and closer you get to each other and to the whole concept of Kedusha and Havdalah. Now, the cheaper that sex becomes, the less Kedusha it has and the less aimed it is towards each other and the more it's actually adulterated by feelings of lust, which is something that takes completely away from the relationship of love and just turns it back into the general idea of all animals that have the same type of hormones in order to ensure that their species survive. But that has no kedusha at all. That's simply a Darwinian mechanism to fool you into having those crazy things called kids. And therefore, what would it have to do with kedusha? So therefore, the Gemara continues to say that kol ha-mikadesh et atzmo. We want to talk about the difference between lahavdil and lahirais. Somebody who knows the difference of love and sex, and he's mikadesh et atzmo, b'sha'at tashmish, havin lo bonim zecharim, because it also says, v'yizkad dishtem v'heyitem kedoshim, and that is followed by Isha ki Tazria v'yalda zachar. So Kedoshim, which is so focused on the idea of Lahavdil and Lahorot, is followed immediately with the Yalda zachar. The next thing that we had in the Mishnah was the fascinating and very difficult to understand machlokas between Rebbe Eliezer and Rebbe Akiva in the Mishnah, because they seem to say the same thing. I mean, we had Rebbe Eliezer, he was being doresh. They both had a short piece of a pasuk, and each one of them looked at a slightly different piece of that pasuk, and it seems to be saying exactly the same thing. I mean, what it was that Reb Eliezer was Doresh, he said in the pasuk that, look, it says over there, the whole parsha of the Oila the Yared was talking about somebody that what? Was Nelam. What was Nelam? It was the question of whether he was Nogea B'Sheretz, that was Tameh, O B'Nivlat Be'imah Tameh, O B'Nivlat Chaya, V'Nelam. Sorry, so B'Sheretz, it says V'Nelam, O B'Sheretz, that is Tameh. Says Reb Eliezer, so where does it say V'Nelam? It says V'Nelam on the Sheretz. So that's the problem. But if it was Ne'alam where the Mikdash was, or was Ne'alam that this was Basar Kedesh, that's not included in the Ola V'Yared. That was Reb Eliezer. Rabbi Akiva says, wait. Look at the next word. V'Ne'alam v'hu tameh. So what does that mean? It's only the Haloma of Tuma, not the Haloma of Mikdash, not the Haloma of Kedesh. That's the same thing. Sheretz V'Ne'alam. Or V'Ne'alam V'hu Tameh. Does it really matter whether it was the word before that tells me it's only the Tumah that's important, or it's the word afterwards? Like, what are they arguing about? Omar Chizkiah, no. It's a tremendous difference. What Reb Eliezer was saying was that Sheretz V'Ne'alam means you have to know what Tumah was Metameh you. It's not enough to know that you were Tameh and then forgot Tumah. You have to know the difference between the Sheretz that was Metameh you, or between the Nevela that was Metameh you, and the things that it lists in the Pasuk are different Tumas that are meant to be very specific. You need to be able to know precisely what happened. So according to Reb Eliezer, you will not be chayev even if you know that you're tameh, but you're not certain whether it was a piece of sheretz that you touched or whether it was a piece of nevela that you touched. Whereas according to Rabbi Akiva, that's irrelevant. Rabbi Akiva says, it says that v'ne'alam v'hu tameh. So all that's important is, are you tameh or are you not tameh? That's the only issue. That is a major difference. What is the nature of the halama that we need to know? Now, there's a big machlokas about whether that is what I need to know first. So that's the yediyah betchila. Or does it mean I need to also have found out at the end? That means the yediyah besof. Do I also have to know at the end what it was that had happened that had made me tummy? Now, that's a machlokas in which the Rambam holds, basically like the Rimi Gash, that you need to know both, right? That's not the way that Rashi learns. Rashi learns you just needed to know what made you tummy, and then you forgot. Afterwards, that you find out your tummy, it doesn't have to be the specific tummy in the idea acharefet. So, okay, it's a big machlokas. Again, as I said, the Rambam Paskins, that would be the difference between Reb Eliezer and Reb Yehoshua. Do you need to know precisely what it was that made you tummy? And, says Ula, yes, this makes a lot of sense. V'chein Omar Ula. The way that Ula, we know that Ula holds this, is more complex. And it actually opens up the sugya much more than just recognizing that that must be the point of the difference. Because if you analyze Ula's question, Ula ends up having this question in which he points out a contradiction between Reb Eliezer here and Reb Eliezer elsewhere. And in recognizing that contradiction and how he answers it, we have a much more fundamental understanding of what this is all about. So Ula, in the end, we're going to see clearly that Ula himself agrees fully that the machlokas between Reb Eliezer and Reb Akiva is whether it's essential to know Sheretz V'Nevela. You need to know precisely what was Metameh or not. How do I know that? Because Ula pointed out Rami. He pointed out a contradiction between Reb Eliezer here and Reb Eliezer elsewhere. Where is that? And he answers it. And in understanding that question and answer, we'll understand much better. And here's what Ula said. Is it possible, says Ula, that Reb Eliezer actually means that be'inan adia da ibesheretz itami b'neveli itami? Does it make sense that Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Eliezer, is saying you need to know precisely what was metami you? But we know that elsewhere, Omar Rabbi Eliezer, so the case over here is actually talking about a Mishnah. Now, the Gemara doesn't explain itself very well, but what Ula was referring to is the Mishnah in Masechet Kritot. And what it says in Masechet Kritot is that, let's say you have a situation, says the Mishnah, in which you had in your refrigerator, you had some meat that was chaleb, and you had some meat that was notar. So both of them were actually going to be mechayev you, and you ate one of them, but you don't know which one you ate. You don't know if it was chaleb, and that would be the issur that you need the carbon for, or whether it was notar, and that was the issur you ate the carbon for. Okay, do I need to bring a carbon? Or suppose you had two women who were asura in your home. One is your wife, who was Anita. The other one is your sister. Now, you don't know. It was the middle of the night. You sleep with one of these women. You didn't realize that one, that it might be your sister. And you didn't realize that your wife was Anita. So you had come in from a trip somewhere. You didn't realize any of this. It's dark in the night. You slept with one of them, but you don't know which one of them you slept with. Or it was Shabbos and Yom Kippur, one after the other. Now, you were over on one of them, but you're not sure if it was before Shkia, so it was Shabbos, or it was after Shkia and it was Yom Kippur. One way or the other, you were definitely over on an Issur Karis, of doing Melacha on Yom HaKippurim or doing Melacha on Shabbos. So what's the din over there? So over there, Rabbi Yoshua says, well, since you don't know what you did, you are putter. And it's Dafka Rabbi Eliezer who says, who the heck cares what you did? You know you definitely did something that you're chayav karis, right? So those are the words of Rabbi Eliezer. Omar Rabbi Eliezer, we're skipping now the whole Mishnah except for that last piece, because this is what is the important issue, which is contradictory. In Rabbi Eliezer, says Ula, Omar Rabbi Eliezer, manav shach, what do you care whether you slept with your sister or you slept with your wife as Anita? What do you care whether it was Yom Kippur or it was Shabbos? What do you care whether it was Neisser or whether it was Chaleb? It's still, no matter what the case is, you'd still be Chayev. Either you ate Chaleb, you're Chayev. You ate Neisser, you're Chayev. Either way, you have to bring a Chatas. You're Mechal Shabbos, you're Chayev. You're Mechal Yom Kippur, you're Chayev. It was your wife who was Anita you slept with, you're Chayev. It was your sister you slept with, you're Chayev. So who cares? Omar lo Rabbi Yoshua, I care. It says in the Pasuk, Beferish, Oh hoda elav chatato asher chata ba. You have to know the precise chate that you were over. And if you don't, the fact that you knew that you was a chate, that's not enough to be mechayev you a carbon and to give you a kapara for that chate, because you didn't know what that chate was. Now, this is the exact opposite, right, of what Rabbi Eliezer was actually saying over here. Here, Rabbi Eliezer says, what? What's the difference what the chait is? And in our Mishnah, he seems to be saying, says Ula, the way we understood him, you must know the difference. Were you tameh because you touched the sheretz and then went into the Beis HaMikdash, or eight kodesh, or were you tameh because you touched a nevela? I don't understand. It's the complete opposite. So how do you explain that? Therefore, says Ula, I'll tell you what the pshat is. Look at the psukim and you'll understand the pshat. Umishane, where it comes to the dinim of chatas in general. If you take a look at the pasuk, what does it say? Asher chata vehevi. So we'll have to worry. What do you do with the fact that it says asher chata ba? Okay. But it does say you were chayte, Vevi, you bring your carbon, which means whatever it is that you did, you have got to bring that carbon. That's what it says, beferish in the Torah. Oidai lav chatato asher chata, Vevi et korbano. Now, of course, he's ignoring the word ba, which was the whole point that Rabbi Yeshua was making. The Gemara will ask, well, what does he do with the ba? But essentially, it says, you sinned, chatato, Vevi et korbano. That's in the dinim of the normal chatas. But over here, when we're talking about the Tumas Mikdash V'Kedosha, it says something very different, says Rebbe Eliezer. If it says at the beginning of the pasuk, look, it says, O nefesh asher tiga b'chol davar tameh. Isn't that how the parsha begins of the Karban Arla V'Yored? And then it starts listing, O nefesh asher tiga b'chol davar tameh. And listen to this. O benivlat chaya tameya, O benivlat beima tameya, O benivlat sheretz tameh, v'nela mimeno. What do I need all of that stuff for? Therefore, it's clear that it isn't just a function of being tameh, says the Rebbe Eliezer. It's a function of which tuma? Benivlat chaya tameya, benivlat sheretz tameh. Therefore, I say, yes, I'm not prejudice. In one case, the Torah is marked, but just on the chait. And in the unique case of Korban Arla V'Yored, says Rebbe Eliezer, the Torah tells me to be makbid on which particular tumah. So what's your problem? This is a contradiction. That's the whole point. Now we understand what Rebbe Eliezer is saying. Anyway, so meanwhile, we see how the entire sugya, it's a complex sugya in understanding the psukim, which we'll now have to explain. How does Rabbi Akiva understand the pasuk? How does Rabbi Eliezer understand the pasuk? But the bottom line is, it's clear from this whole conversation that Ula is interpreting Rabbi Eliezer Shita exactly as we did, and that the difference between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua is critical. If you analyze the second part of the pasuk, v'ne'alam v'hu tameh, then there's no discussion of the unique form of the tumah. If you analyze the first part of the pasuk, Benivlat Beimatameya, Benivlat Chaya, Benivlat Sheretz, then there is absolutely a critical need in order to be Chayav the Karban Arla V'Yored of the specific tumah that affected you. That's the difference. Oh, that's a very good point. So what actually, how could Rabbi Akiva argue with that? It says all of this extra stuff for no reason. Why do I need to know Benivlat Beimatameya? What does that have to do with anything? Says Rabbi Akiva, remember, Rabbi used the word of Behema and Chaya to tell me that everywhere we know that Chaya is, Behema is Bechlal Chaya. So why does it say Behema and Chaya? To tell me, we had this way before at the beginning of the Sugya, to tell me that we have actually, the Torah is giving us a Gezeira Shava. That it says over here, Behema, it says over there, Behema, and therefore, that's Rebbe's din. So once it was saying Behema v'chaya, so we have a klal, that if the Torah mentions one thing, then the Tana Devei Rebbe Shmuel is, it already tells you the rest. So being as it was necessary to know the Gezeira Shava of Rebbe, of Behema v'chaya, to make the Behema extra, so because of that, it also mentions Kedatana Devei Rabbi Yishmael Sheretz. Tatana Devei Rabbi Yishmael Kol Parasha Shinem Rav Nishneit Lo Nishneit Ela Bishvil Tava Shinitchad Deshpra. The only reason why it mentions also the Sheretz is because of Rabbi's need for the extra pasuk of the Hekesh, the Gezeirah Shava of Behema Behema. Fine. But therefore, I don't look at what Rabbi Eliezer looks now. Tomorrow, we'll take a look at, and what does Rebbe Eliezer do with the ba? Wasn't that the whole point? That the pasuk is stressing, you have to know the precise thing that you did wrong? Fine, this we'll see, but we'll handle that tomorrow, Bezrat Hashem. And meanwhile, I'll wish you a happy 36th anniversary of your Svirat HaOmer.